Now you can see how far it is from the force applied to action to produce a result. It is not as if production of a result or the decision to produce a result is anything wrong about it. But because my preponderant wish is to enjoy the fruit of action, therefore Sri Krishna says in the beginning, let not the enjoyment of the fruit of action be your motive. That's the purification. Let my desire, kama. Kama is the basic thing, and kama we have now analyzed it quite well. This kama has this fundamental tendency to enjoy the fruits of action as soon as possible. And that vitiates the whole action. Therefore, Sri Krishna says, you should purify yourself in such a way that first remedy is do not go straight to the fruits of action. And let not the enjoyment of fruits of action be your motive. That is the purification. Second element of purification is vigata jvaraha. That is one of the sentences you will find in this chapter, which is a very important statement. Vigata jvaraha. Yudhyasva vigata jvaraha. You fight, but where there is no jvara, there is no fever, there is no impatience, there is no disappointment, there is no urgency of enjoying the fruits of action. Even before the fruit is produced, you want to enjoy it. This jvara is a special sign of desire. Jvara makes you impatient and wants to enjoy as soon as possible, immediately on the spot. You can't wait. So this is the second purification, vigata jvaraha. Give up all the jvara. There should be no fever in action. And the third is, there should be no confusion. Purify your movement from all confusions. These are the three basic purifications you have to do. First is trying to clutch at the result. Secondly, feverishly pursue it. And thirdly, to do it confusedly. These are the three impurities. And Sri Krishna says in different verses how you can purify them. These are to be purified. Give up all.
Can you tell us a little more on the confusion, the purification of confusion? What is the method of that?
Every desire is accompanied by an idea of what you want. And this idea, if you really analyze it, you will find there is so much of obscurity. If you really straight look, what do I really want? You will find different concepts of what you want. And many of these trends are self-contradictory. Just take the example of Arjuna's argument. It is an example of confusion. What is the confusion in the argument that Arjuna puts forward? We just examine it now more carefully. He starts by saying, I do not want kingdom, I do not want enjoyment. Very fine. Does it therefore follow that I will not fight? Just examine. I do not want kingdom, I do not want happiness. Does it therefore follow I will not fight? Does this conclusion follow logically? He had not come to get happiness, he had not come to get kingdom. He had come to set right a wrong. That was the real purpose. He said this is unjust, that we are not getting the portion that we should be getting. It was not necessarily kingdom that he wanted. He wanted unjust meeting out by Duryodhana, in which he says, I will give you nothing. So, even if you don't want kingdom, even if you don't want happiness, it's not for the sake of happiness that he had come for this fight. Now he says, I don't want kingdom, I don't want happiness, therefore I am not happy. Now you see the confusion in it. Then he says, continue the argument. How can I kill my teacher? How can I kill my grandfather, Bhishma and Drona, Ishubhi, with arrows, how can I tear them apart? So he is prepared to tear apart others, but how can he do it as far as his grandfather and his teacher are concerned? Why? Because they are mamakaha, they are mine. Apart from Bhishma and Drona, there are many others who are my brethren. And if they are killed, how shall I enjoy? Now he said, I don't want happiness. But now he says that I would, even if I have enjoyment. So he grants that I want enjoyment. But how can I enjoy it if it is blood-shattered? By killing them, and that to my grandfather and my teacher. The people by sitting with whom, by sharing with whom you enjoy, if they are gone, where is the enjoyment? But he had not come for enjoyment. So the argument, what is the argument? And he has already said, Sukham Rakankshe, I don't want happiness. Then where is the ground for this argument? This is another aspect of confusion. Then he says, that if I fight, there will be a tremendous destruction. He doesn't say one of the possibilities is that there will be a tremendous destruction. He knows it will be a tremendous destruction. Then he knows the consequence of that destruction, that there will be Kula Dharma Nasha. He knows it. He doesn't examine, he doesn't ask the question, will it be so? He does not say that if I fight and I win, there will be establishment of justice. You have to compare with that establishment of justice with the possibility of Kula Dharma Nasha. Does not compare. There is a confusion. There is a hurried argument. In a confusion, all the statements have some truth behind them. That is why confusion is so attractive. People try to hug to the confusion. And then he says that one who is cause of Kula Dharma Nasha Iti Shushruma, we have heard. Now he brings a kind of a statement from Shruti, from the Vedas, that if you do this, we go to the heaven. Which he doesn't want. Why? Because he wants sukha. Which he said in the beginning, I don't conscious sukha. But now he does not want help because it is not sukha. And I must have sukha. Therefore I will not fight. You will see that confusion and contradiction in the whole argument. That is why Sri Krishna at a certain time will say that if you go by Shruti, there are so many interpretations of Shruti that you will be bewildered and you will remain in confusion. I am giving you the path, the knowledge of which will deliver you from what you have heard and what you have not heard. So you go beyond Shruti, go to the truth itself directly. It's a tremendous statement of Sri Krishna, like a revolutionary, where Shruti is supposed to be such a great pramana, and you should always obey Shruti. Even Bhagavan Sri Krishna's words are now regarded as Shruti. But he himself says, you go beyond all that is heard and that is not heard, because the truth is not contained in any Shruti. However wide is a Shruti, the truth is greater than Shruti. It can capture only one part. The truth is so vast, so wide, there is no scripture in the world which can claim, I have now the final word. Everything is contained in it. This has been the trouble with the world. All Shrutis are presented as the final revelations, once for all complete, A, B, C, D up to Z. Everything is included in it. And Sri Krishna, a revolutionary, he says, you go beyond that which is heard and that which is not heard. I am giving you the path by which Shruti will be only like a well in a place where there is flood. So what is the use of a Shruti which is like a well, where I give you the flood? This yogic knowledge is the knowledge of the flood. Go straight to the truth. And if you don't go to the truth directly, if you do not know how to go, first learn to be equal. This is the starting point. First absolutely become equal-minded. And the minimum is endure. Then become a sage. And then resign. These are the steps I am giving you as to how you can go beyond all Shrutis. Become completely, when your Siddha Pragya, when your consciousness becomes Siddha, that will be the sign. And action will proceed automatically, then after you will not even ask the question whether I should do this or not. In this state of consciousness, action will proceed automatically and that will be the right action. It will neither be Satkrita nor Dushkrita. It will be the right action. Neither good action nor bad action. It will be the right action. This is the knowledge I am giving you. So that is confusion. All right?